Welcome to Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman, covering topics for everyday Christian living through conversations that challenge spiritual growth. Now, here are your hosts, Sharon Hoskins and Janie Ratzliff.
Thanks for joining us today. Janie and I are continuing in chapter 1 of Ephesians and exploring the riches of God's grace.
What is the riches of His grace? Get a word picture. One of the nicest department stores in America. And the person at the front door says, "Welcome. Everything in this store is yours. There's no charge. There's no tax." This is just an earthly illustration of the heavenly assurance of the riches of His grace. In this big department store, sooner or later, everything will wear out. But the riches of grace, they just keep abounding and abounding and abounding, and there's no limit.
Janie, I am so enjoying our conversations about grace. It's challenging, which is the theme for our conversations as we sit here as mentor and mentee, and just growing in that grace and understanding how it flows. We've been in Ephesians chapter 1, and I want to read verse 7 that really is kind of the jumping off point. Verse 7 of Ephesians chapter 1 says, "In Christ we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." And the riches of His grace is really just bigger than what we could ever imagine, because there are so many facets to His grace that we have not even grabbed a hold of. A lot of times when we think about grace, that is just salvation, that so much of His grace is given because of Ephesians 2. I believe it's 8 and 9. "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." But we want to talk about more of the riches of His grace and what all that entails.
Well, as I'm sitting here listening to you, I do want to give one little disclaimer. And you said that we are mentor and mentoree. Sharon, I have never known a time when a mentor talked to someone they were mentoring that they did not get mentored themselves. I don't know of a time that it's ever been a one-way street. We glean from one another because the Spirit of the living God is within us.
But, you know, also Titus 2 also tells us that the older women should teach the younger, and that's not age with that. That is, that's spirituality.
Maturity.
Too. Right. And, and you've been a Christian a lot longer than I have. You've been in ministry for 50 years or more.
Yes.
And so I have a lot to learn from you, and I appreciate you doing that with me on air. And just being transparent here on the other side of the table.
Well, I need to tell our listening audiences that there's really no diplomas, but there has been a lot of courses in the School of Failure. Yeah. And I think I've said before, which I fairly never graduated from. I do make some A's in learning. I also make some F's in having to do some courses over again, Sharon. And that should be an encouragement to the listeners today that our walk with the Lord is a lifelong walk, preparing us for all of eternity. And today in Ephesians 1, as you were talking, I thought about the riches of His grace, and I'm going to try to bring this down to a very temporal...
I love that phrase.
Riches of His
grace?
Riches
of His grace.
Okay, well, stop and think. Stop and think. Get a word picture, all right? That you're going to go into one of the nicest department stores in America, and you're going to walk in, and the person at the front door says, "Welcome. Everything in this store is yours. It's all yours. There's no charge. There's no tax. I will even help you carry it to wherever you need it to go so that it can be appropriately used." Now, some things you look in that store, and you have no idea what its use is for. You realize you're going to have to learn what that lovely item is going, what its purpose is.
Right.
And you're going to have to realize that there are some things that need coordinating, such as the clothes selection, for them to give off the best of appeal that you can then wear so that you can enjoy and others can enjoy. We can take the elaborations on a woman-to-woman level and start to think about, this is just an earthly illustration of the heavenly assurance of the riches of His grace. The thing of it is, in this big department store, sooner or later, everything will wear out. With the riches of grace, they just keep abounding and abounding and abounding, and there's no limit. What is the riches of His grace? So do you want to start off with, what was it? I think we read 1 through 6 last week, right? So we don't need to go there again?
We actually read 1 through 7 last week. And one of the words in 7 that I think might have a question is redemption. And that's kind of a Christianese word that maybe not a lot of people understand what that means.
No, so, and we have the old-fashioned hymn, Redeemed, and how I love to proclaim it. Redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. So let's take a temporal situation that our mind might be able to build a word picture around. And suppose that you saw me up on a slave block. You saw me in the town square. And you saw me being auctioned off as a slave. And then you saw somebody come along and say, I will buy that slave. And they buy that slave. And then they set that slave free, never to have to go back into slavery again. So redemption is a simple way of saying that we have been bought out of the slave market of sin, which would be the natural man, which would be death, which would be no hope for eternity, for having no family relationship with Father God. We would be here for just destruction. But because there was somebody in the audience, the Lord Jesus Christ, God the Father, that said, I want that one, and I will buy them, and they will belong to me. But I'm not going to use them as a slave. No, I'm going to make them into a son or a daughter. They're going to come into my family with special privileges. And everything that would separate the two of us, I am forgiving. And not only am I forgiving, but I'm putting it into the depths of the deepest sea, and I'm putting a no fishing sign so that no one can go back into that sea and try to pull them back and accuse this member of my family that now carries my family name. And I want to then spend my time developing my character in their life and their hearts, so that they will get rid of their gunky character, and I can just flow freely through their lives to other people who have not been redeemed.
Okay.
But redeemed and forgiveness need to hold hands when they walk down the path, because they go together.
They go hand in hand.
Now, does that give you any...
That absolutely does. I think that helps quite a bit. So are we going on to the next verse, Jamie?
Well, let's see. He says that because of that, He's made us abound onward in all wisdom and prudence. Now, I'm going to use a cute little phrase. Do you feel like a smart chick?
No.
Well, then your feelings are probably betraying you, because I have here in writing from Father God, which He made to abound towards us in all wisdom and prudence. Mm-hmm. And that seems to have a past tense to it. So it's a thing that's done. Now, it may take a while for us to explore.
Yeah.
I know when I bought a house one time, it was huge. And it took me quite some time to explore all the cabinetry, all the nooks and crannies where I could put things. But it was all mine at the time I signed on the dotted line.
Uh-huh.
But then it took me a while to decide how that was to be, where I was going to put this and where I was going to put that. So we need to realize that these are riches that are ours. This is the whole day's lesson for today is grab a hole that you've just walked in and you're so overwhelmed that's what is already yours. As they say, guaranteed. All right?
Okay.
And there's no someone calling and saying, you need to return that. You didn't work it properly, so you need to return it. This is a guarantee by the God of creation.
It's ours. We just don't know what is already ours.
You put me into the electronics, and I would have to have you accompany me to find the on button for a computer.
Right.
All right. It's mine, but I've got a lot to learn. And that's why we compare scripture with scripture. That's why we look at Old Testament examples. Uh-huh. That's why we take the exhortations that sometimes people get offended at. I don't have to follow that rule because that puts me in bondage. I'm sorry, people. That's not the purpose of why it was written. So we need to go in and see how the riches of the grace were written and how they're to be implemented. So where do we go with the next verse, Sharon?
But verse 9 says, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he has purposed in himself.
Okay, and I want to throw one question back to you. Who's the dominant person in there?
Jesus.
Yeah, we've got having made known to us the mystery of his will. Now, the first thing that I know you're going to ask me, so I'll answer it for you. Okay. Janie, what's the mystery?
What's the mystery?
Okay. Well, the mystery is not a perplexity. It's not a whodunit. It is something that was not made known in a former time. But now is the time to make things known. Do you remember in the Gospels where the disciples would ask the Lord Jesus questions? And he would say, I would like to tell you, but you're not ready to hear. Mm-hmm. When you are ready, these things will become plain to you. There are many different mysteries. There's the mystery of stewardship in the scriptures that is a neat study to do. How do we handle the assets that we have been asked to be good stewards of? There's the mystery of godliness. The mystery of godliness is Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1, 24, 25, or 26, right in there. And so Christ in you, well, I don't have a 175-pound being somewhere in this body, but Christ is in us through his Spirit. And that's hope. So without Christ's Spirit being in us, there's no hope.
So the mystery of his will be revealed to us as we grow and mature in his word. Is that
That's right.
basically what you're telling me?
Yes, and it's according to his good pleasure, not ours. And so sometimes when we want to know the mystery and understand it right now, the Lord's saying, it's my good pleasure on when I open this up to you. Because if I open it up to you ahead of your time of where you are in your growth, then it could almost be an offense. You're not going to understand. It will cause you irritation, perplexity, and even though we need to be stretched, as we talked about last week, it's according to his good pleasure.
It's kind of like what we do with our kids, it sounds like.
Yes,
We kind of wait to tell them certain things, and they don't really understand the details of, you know, your finances. You know, as a parent, you kind of keep those quiet to your kids, and as they get older, you give them a little more and a little more and a little more of understanding as they need that, and you see that growth.
And one of our greatest challenges, I don't know if you've had this conversation, but there is a time when you tell them about the birds and the bees.
Oh, yeah.
And nowadays, it's getting earlier and earlier.
Unfortunately.
Okay. Okay. So, that's the way it is with the Lord. And where we are really stretching our audience joyfully, and hopefully they can sense that, is that we're moving from the foundation that God has given us in Romans. And we are reminding them of losing that foundation in Galatians, and that they're holding on to a foundation in Hebrews. And then he gives the epistles to say, let's move on past the foundation, the fundamentals. And Ephesians and Colossians and Philippians are books that help us move into the heavenly man. He is off of the cross. He is risen.
Right.
He is ascended. And he went back to do his Father's will. And one of the first things he says is, I've got to go back and get a house ready for you so that you can come again and be with me, that where I am, you will be also forever. Now, that's one of the riches of his grace.
Yeah.
All right. So just as we talk, we can bring out different facets of the riches of his grace. And we can see that this is his good pleasure. We're still in verse 9. It's his good pleasure that he purposed in himself. He didn't go getting for the majority of votes. He didn't have a vote. He didn't have a board. He didn't let the angels help him make the decision. He, God Almighty, sovereign, knowing all, said, this is what I've purposed for all of eternity in himself. And you know, Sharon, isn't it nice when we know we're down to just one boss?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, and knowing that he is in control, that he has it all under control, and that we can trust him. We can trust him with our lives. We can trust him in situations, and we have an inheritance. He's gone on to prepare that home for us. And so there's an inheritance waiting for us on the other side. And so there are some comforts there that we can trust even in the worst of storms, the worst of situations.
Yeah, and I just you're making me smile today, Sharon. Inheritance. We'll never have to fight with our brothers and sisters to get our portion, will we?
Oh yeah. That's a good point.
There'll be no arguing over right. Who gets what.
Yeah, right.
The one who gives out the inheritance will know exactly what to give each one of us. And because we'll be conformed to his image, I won't look over and think, well, I don't know why I couldn't have gotten. I thought I did a pretty good job in life, Lord. Why didn't you let me have a portion of that inheritance? There will be fullness with each one. Now, we do need to just balance out that we need to live that in the fullest that he's provided, because there will be a loss, not from the inheritance that he plans on giving us, but on the way we chose to reject what he has planned. He's not going to be shorthanded in handing us inheritance. But we may have denied. We might have walked in and said in that big department store, oh, I don't want plants and gardens. You can keep that. And I'm going to live so that I don't want to plant anything, sow anything. And, you know, we can suffer a loss. But if we want the fullness of the riches of his grace, if we want to live in what is already ours in Ephesians 1, then that won't be a problem or an object. He will say, well done, blessed child, my Sharon. Receive the fullness that I have planned for you.
And that's the wonderful thing about God, that he doesn't push things on us. We're not puppets on a string.
Yes.
He gives us free will to choose. We can choose everything in the department store, or we can choose as little as we want. And unfortunately for the person that chooses as little as they want, they miss out on so much of the riches and the fullness of all that God has given us freely. And we suffer the consequences of that in this life as well.
Yes, yes. Now, that's enough on inheritance. Just to know that he has freely given all things to those that love his son. And that's the goal. And he doesn't want to withhold one single thing. So what's the word in the next verse that you would like to pursue?
Are we going back to verse 10?
Verse 10 sounds good.
That is that in the dispensation of the fullness of times, he might gather together in one all things in Christ, both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him.
Now, I think we just bit off about a half a steak.
Yeah.
Okay. So let's see if we can break it down little by little. Dispensation. You want to put your two cents to what a dispensation is?
Well, dispensation is really an era, right?
An era
of time.
An economy. It's a time allotment on where God has said, I want to deal with my people according to a certain way and in a certain manner. And he had the age of innocence with Adam and Eve. He had the age of the prophets. He had the age of law. We're in the age of grace, and it's all of him, but it's the way he wants to separate out and say, I'm going to deal with people in this, because of where they were, but where they had been brought into certain lifestyles, certain conditions, and in his wisdom, he set aside to deal with them, because how did he deal with people before the law? How did he deal with people before they understood faith? Was it still in operation? And if so, how did he make that known to them so that it would all go back to the cross and the Son? Which, obviously, the Son had not been made known in plain, I'm not going to say English, but in plain language. Mm-hmm. They look forward to the cross. We look back to the cross. But a lot of them, until he started to teach them, did not know the cross.
Right.
Okay, so the dispensations is a way that he taught people according to certain situations that he had made, and it goes into there's like what we know of from hermeneutical teaching. It's like there were eight dispensations. Now people get into that and attach a dispensation to a prophecy, or attach it to pre-trib, post-trib, how they want, pre-dispensational, post, okay? And that's another whole issue.
Different thing.
Well, it's another whole application.
Okay,
it's another whole application. But right now, the dispensation, we can think of that in his time, and by the way, he already tells us that it's in the fullness of time, all the dispensations that he has set up, he's going to gather them all into one.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's where we understand that we will all be together in him, serving in the different capacities throughout eternity. Our dispensation may operate a little bit less than the dispensation of when Moses was alive. Okay?
Right.
All right, so that he might gather everything again, what? In Christ. We're right back to the same thing.
In Christ.
And which are on earth in him. So you're already giving me the signal that we're coming down to a close. So Sharon, I think it would be neat if we just keep going through Ephesians 1 as the foundation, because we get the goal of all the spiritual blessings when we go down to verse 22 and 21 and 23.
Now, this is kind of a transition stage in Ephesians, transitioning, I heard you say earlier, transitioning from the foundations to understanding how to walk in that foundation,
yes,
basically.
To walk as the heavenly resurrected individual.
Okay. Well, Janie, for those that want to come to know the full riches of his grace, and that maybe haven't even started with the first blessing of his grace,
yeah,
which is salvation, will you lead us in prayer to those that want to come to know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior?
Yes. So if you're listening today and you want to know the riches of his grace, simply say, Father, I want to know who you are, why you placed me here on earth. What is your plan and purpose for me for all of eternity? I do accept that I am a sinner and I am in need of the riches of your grace. And so I ask that you accept me where I am today. Take my heart, take my soul, my spirit, my mind, and mold it into what you want it to be. Bring me into your family for all of eternity. And I trust you that you will do this because of who you are. I accept you in your Son's name for my life. Amen.
Amen. This is Sharon Hoskins along with Janie Ratzliff saying goodbye until next time, and God bless.
Thank you for joining us for Sharon Hart's Woman to Woman. If you'd like to hear this broadcast again or for Bible study resources, go to SharonHartz.org. That's SharonHartz.org.